Slightly.
I am mentally unstable. It's fine.
It's fine.
I'm the one with the spicy brain that has to take medication, okay?
I'm the one with the spicy brain that's just raw dogging it.
Raw dogging her mental illness. It's fine. I tried to raw dog it.
In the shower, and then it goes away.
I try to raw dog it and I go a little crazy, so we can't. No raw dogging for me, ma'am. Welcome to episode 126 of I'm Sorry You Want the Podcast. That chipmunk looking motherfucker is Amanda. That was mean. I'm sorry. And I'm Christina.
It's fine. My chipmunk / bunny teeth are cute. Old man at bars, tell me.
What did that old man say to you that one time?
He just goes, you know, I find bunny teeth very adorable. I was like, thank you.
Thank you. Can you leave me alone now, please?
What? We weren't even talking. Like, what?
You know, he just walked up. Why are you looking at my teeth from across the way? That's weird. Get out of here.
If you're gonna talk to me, buy me a drink, okay?
And then we can talk about my bunny teeth after you buy me booze. But until then, fare thee well, kind sir.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Guten Tag.
I'm done with this conversation.
Did you just white fang me?
Go on. Get. Oh, shoot. Hi.
Hi.
We just talked yesterday.
And we just talked for like 45 minutes before this episode started. So
25. Don't be dramatic.
Listen again.
Listen, Linda.
Listen, I don't do time or numbers or days or calendars or pants.
I wouldn't do pants if I didn't have to do pants.
As of tomorrow, when I have foot surgery, it's going to be the
Winnie the Pooh all day.
Winnie the Pooh all day, every day, for at least 2.5 to 3 weeks. Because once Winnie a cast, the
Pooh, what's up with you?
Once a cast is on my leg, I don't want to put pants on.
Not fighting the urge. Do you have like nightgowns and muumuus you could wear? Because I would totally rock the muumuu if I didn't want to put on pants.
I have, well, sometimes I steal Linda's muumuus, but I bought myself a waffle knit, what is it, the long underwear kind of fabric.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nightgown that comes to my knees. It's super soft and comfy.
Ew.
And then Melinda, because she's the best sister-in-law ever, ordered me an oversized sweatshirt nightgown.
Ooh.
So it's literally like just like a sweatshirt material, but it's a nightgown. It's
that's
amazing.
Cozy.
And then I got a couple of other like long sleeve like super soft lounger things. Nice. And then I went to Old Navy and they have like super cute shorts that I got.
Shorts. Did you forget that word for a second? Your face, you're like super cute, and you looked around for the word in your brain.
Well, shorts. they're like shorts, but I don't know if they're supposed to be underwear or not, but they're like boxers, but they're or briefs, but they're
nice
for women, and they're super, they're like the waffle knit texture too.
I have a waffle knit Victoria's Secret pajama set that I got this year when they were doing their
knit
before Christmas sale stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So cozy.
It's my favorite fabric to sleep in.
I like it because spandex gives me weird sensitivity like issues, like sensory shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like things are on me, don't touch me. If I have any sort of like workout gear on,
yeah,
I'm fine, but if anything touches me, I'm like, ugh,
don't touch me.
Gives me that same feeling as if someone like drags a fork across a plate. Yep, that's the feeling. It gives me
that scent, like I'm just thinking about it has like made me palsy, like my whole body just like
seized up.
Don't talk about it.
Telling you.
All right. Anyway, should we start this bitch? Just dive right in.
Get into it, brosif.
I'm going to tell you about the Gypsy Hill killings.
Gypsy Hill killings.
Yes. They are a group of 5 homicides of young women and girls in San Mateo County, California in 1976.
Dude, I would have never lived in California in the 70s. No. I'm just saying.
Everybody wanted to go there and everybody kept fucking getting murdered. Get out.
That's why everybody got murdered, because everybody was like, I'm just trying to find a place to belong.
Make it. What is it like? You're in lights. Well, they're going to be in lights because you got your throat slashed.
You are making yourself very vulnerable to predators. Let's be aware of our surroundings. Thank you.
Open your eyes, jackass.
Anyway, the Gypsy Hill.
He became known, or the killer became known as the San Mateo Slasher. So on January 8th, 1976, the body of 18-year-old Veronica Castillo was discovered in a creek on the grounds of the Sharp Park Golf Course. So on January 8th, 1976, the body of 18-year-old Veronica Castillo was discovered in a creek on the grounds of the Sharp Park Golf Course in Pacifica. She had been stabbed 30 times. A transient was arrested, but was then released for lack of evidence.
Okay.
A few weeks later, then, 14-year-old Tatiana Blackwell was reported missing after leaving her home to run an errand. Her body was later identified and was discovered off Sharp Park Road in the Gypsy Hill section of the city on June 6th. She had also been stabbed multiple times.
Okay.
Then Paula Baxter. What the fuck is wrong with my voice today? Paula Baxter, 17 years old, went missing on Wednesday evening, February 4th. So there's kind of a gap in the time, but after finishing a play rehearsal on the Cappuccino High School campus, she left her car behind, or her car was found, and then her nude body was found on February 6th behind the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Ludman Lane in the Gypsy Hill neighborhood. Okay. She had been stabbed 4 times, sexually assaulted, and hit on the head with a piece of concrete.
Jeez Louise.
And then her killing was, they said it was forensically linked to Casillo, so I'm wondering if there was sperm or DNA.
Right, DNA that linked. Matched.
Yes. And then on April 1st, 19-year-old Denise Lamp of Broadmoor was found dead after a search in the parking lot of the Surmont Center. She had been stabbed 20 times. Then Carol Booth, 26, was reported missing by her husband on March 15th and was discovered in a shallow grave near Coloma Creek in South San Francisco on May 6th.
Okay. This is like a 6-month span, 7 months-ish. Well, 5.
Right. Of the 5 known victims. Then there are a couple of suspected victims. So Michelle Mitchell was last seen alive. She's 19 in Reno, Nevada on February 24th when her Volkswagen Beetle broke down at the intersection of 9th Street and Evans Avenue. Witnesses reported seeing someone help push her vehicle into the parking lot across from the UNR Agricultural Building on Evans Street. Her body was then discovered that evening in a garage on East 9th Street with her hands bound, her throat slashed. 3 years later, Kathy Woods, a psychiatric patient at the Louisiana State University Medical Center, confessed to having murdered her, a woman named Michelle. She was charged and convicted of murdering Michelle Mitchell, but was released from prison in 2015, 35 years later, after DNA evidence cleared her.
So she claimed that she killed someone named Michelle?
She was crazy, basically. Okay. And I think she heard about the murder and claimed that she murdered someone named Michelle, and they just jumped on that, tied it to her, convicted her. Yep. She is Kathy Woods is the longest ever wrongfully imprisoned woman in U.S. history.
Wow. Well, 35 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you said.
The other suspected victim was Idle M. Friedman. She was 21 years old, an employee of an import firm, was found assaulted and stabbed to death with an 8-inch knife in her apartment. She was murdered on March 17th, 1976, about 2 days after Carol Lee Booth was reported missing, one of the first victims.
Yeah.
Her nude body was lying on the kitchen floor of her ransacked apartment. She was found by a coworker who had become concerned when she didn't show up for work. They have connected some of the homicides to each other. All the slain women were young brunettes, and most had experienced car trouble prior to being murdered. All of the bodies were found in wooded areas except for the one found in her apartment and the one found in the car parking lot.
Right.
A lack of witnesses and forensic evidence basically stalled all investigations.
Yeah.
And there was really like nothing to go on. So we're going to fast forward to March of 2014.
Oh boy.
Okay. The FBI established a task force to re-examine the murders after new DNA evidence cast doubt on the conviction of Kathy Woods. So her getting released from prison
kind of led them into
ignited them. The case. Yes. The DNA taken from a cigarette butt found at the Mitchell crime scene matched DNA taken from semen found at the related crime scenes in San Mateo, California, so all five of the Gypsy Hill killings.
Okay, yep.
And this DNA was that of a man and therefore exonerated Woods, basically.
Yeah.
On September 8th, 2014, the FBI named Rodney Halbauer as a person of interest in the Gypsy Hill murders. Woods was released from prison, like I said, on September 11th, pending a new trial to take place on July 13th. And then in March of 2015, they dismissed all the charges against Woods. Yeah. And then on January 22nd, 2015, Halbauer was charged with two of the murders, Paula Baxter and Veronica Castillo, because they had like prominent DNA evidence linking him to both of them. Then on November 8th, 2017, Leon Melvin Seymour was charged with the murder of Denise Lamp based on DNA evidence. So there's more than one killer in the Gypsy Hill area killing.
Okay.
On September 18th, 2018, Halbauer was convicted of the murders of Castillo and Baxter. And on October 10th, he was sentenced to two consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole for those murders. He is also likely to face the trial in Nevada for the murder of Michelle Mitchell because his DNA was on her as well.
Mm-hmm.
The murders of Tatiana Blackwell and Carol Lee Booth are both believed to have been committed by Rodney as well, but they have not had enough evidence to charge him for their deaths. And it's possible that he never would have been linked to the attacks had he not escaped from a Nevada prison in December of 1986. He escaped, made his way to Oregon, where he was arrested on suspicion of rape and attempted murder within days of his escape.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Because there was DNA evidence found,
mm-hmm.
they tied him to all of these murders.
Wow.
So he was sentenced to 15 years in prison in Oregon. So he was returned to Nevada to finish the state's prison term. And then he was sentenced to 15 years for the attempted rape and murder, or for the rape and attempted murder.
Okay.
And then he was charged with these other murders.
Wow.
Okay. So basically when Nevada paroled him in 2013, he was sent back to Oregon to go to prison for that crime. And a prison officials took a DNA sample and submitted it into the national database. And that's how they tied the Gypsy Hill killings to him.
Noise. So,
but it's just weird that not only did he was basically a serial killer, but there was another guy who murdered one of the victims that were tied to him,
mm-hmm.
like in the same time, in the same type of manner.
Right. So there were two active, similar MO type of killers,
yes.
at the same time. Weird. Cool. Yeah.
And I had never heard of that case.
I don't mean cool. That was.
No, that was. It's, that was I just went on. I just moved on. But yeah.
Yeah. I said it and I was like,
cool. It's the same reaction I had when I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, I've never heard of this and this is very interesting. Yeah. It's not cool way to be a murderer. It's why no, have I never like, heard of this?
Well, and it's cool that they were able to link him with the DNA now, otherwise it would have gone unsolved for ever. Right. You know? So it was more like the movement in technology was cool. Technology is neat.
Technology, man, it's so cool.
Actually, I don't know technology well, like at all. I'm terrible.
She's I like try, an old grandma.
Kinda, sometimes.
Sometimes.
My nose is itchy. I'm sorry.
All right.
My case.
Mm-hmm.
We're traveling again.
Where are we going? What? Wait, let me guess. Is it New Zealand?
No.
Is it Switzerland?
No.
Is it Austria?
No.
Am I close in any of those options? Is it China?
No.
Japan?
No.
Indonesia?
No.
North America, South America, Africa, Asia,
Africa, Australia. Africa, okay, Africa, Africa, Africa.
Zimbabwe.
Oh, we're getting loud. Oh. And it's not Zimbabwe.
Is that even in Africa? I think it is.
You know,
it's fine.
I'm not a geographer. I'm not sure.
I was just listing continents until I got near it.
I know that South Africa is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at.
Well, as you should, since it's South Africa.
Yes. And that's where the story takes place.
Okay. Hey, that's where your first story ever told took place.
Really?
Yeah, the lady with the Rasputin head, where she got that's not how I should describe her as a victim, but that's how I remember her, because it reminds me of that.
You know, from Anastasia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, he goes in, it's fine, continue.
I genuinely have the memory of a goldfish sometimes, so I don't...
I wish I did sometimes, because, like, I have...
It's really annoying.
It's in here. Now I have the song, In the Dark of the Night, Terror Will Find You, ooh, from Anastasia in my head, because that's when the, his head is bouncing to the tune of that song.
Like, see, you say Anastasia, and the only thing I think of is Once Upon a December.
I think of
that's the one that I think of.
That one, In the Dark of the Night, and then the I give her a ha in the
hi-ya.
And then I oh yeah, and ooh-wah, and then I
kick her, sir. Yep. Yep, yep. Let me clear my throat quickly.
Oh yeah. Let me clear my throat. you think there's a couple listening to us yet?
Probably. I feel like half of them probably stop listening once we get to my story.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
So I'm going to tell you about Rosemary Nedolvu. There we go. Nedolvu. It's Nedlovu.
Nedolvu?
So, like the first one I said, right?
Yeah.
Nedolvu. Okay. Lovu.
Nedolvu. D-U-L-V-U-E?
I heard it. D-N-D-L-O-V-U. Nedolvu. Nedolvu? Because I know it's an O sound.
Nedolvu?
Nedolvu? I feel like I keep switching the L to where it's not supposed to be.
But, yeah.
I call her Rosemary the rest of the time because I don't want to, like, just sit there and harp on the name.
Don't worry, I do that too.
Yeah.
Like, I can't pronounce this name, so we're going to go once, and then you're going to get called by your first name.
Yep. So her full name is Nomaya Rosemary Nedolvu. I'm sorry. This is terrible. And I listened to it.
Her beautiful.
I know. And I listened to it, like, multiple times to try to get it down. I'm like, my mouth doesn't do that. I don't know what it is.
She is a white Scandinavian. Her mouth doesn't make those shapes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just a lot of, it's just like when I say anything that's like, for example, like in Switzerland, there's just a lot of consonants and I can't get them all out at once.
A lot of diphthongs.
Yeah. It's
or
just,
no, what are, not diphthongs. What are they called?
Diphthongs are where you change the vowels.
Yeah, it's the, what's the, oolong. No, that's T.
It doesn't matter.
What is it called, though?
The problem is, then you keep thinking about it. I don't know that they want to listen to us talking about it.
Well, I can cut it out.
Okay, then what do you think it is?
It's ooh something. Ooh, umlaut.
Umlaut. Umlaut.
Umlaut. There we go.
Umlaut. Good job.
Oolong. So no, that's a T.
You said it. I was like, I feel like that has nothing to do with that, but sure. So this lady, this woman, was born in 1978. It's another one where I didn't have a specific birth date, but she was born into like a very poverty-stricken family. So they probably didn't necessarily like have it down on file when she was born exactly. To her mother, because her father was not in the picture, in right outside of Johannesburg, South Africa. She had a relatively like normal childhood for the area. But she, like I said, was in poverty. She was described as brash and masculine. She was just kind of a almost cold woman and teenager, where everybody just said she was a little bit rude and a little short with people. With this, she trained as a police officer when she got to the age of doing that and became one, and actually was very good at it. She was good at being able to not let emotion get in the way of doing her job and that sort of thing. So she thrived and ended up moving up in ranks pretty fast and making pretty good money, especially considering where she came from. Some of her coworkers said that she had a gambling addiction, though. This meant that regularly she would dip out of work because loan sharks would come looking for her.
Oh.
So.
You can't do that.
She got money, didn't really know what to do with it, and did too much. Mm-hmm. Too much. So she met a man in 2011 named Maurice Mabasa. Mm-hmm. He worked for the U.S. Embassy, and from every account that was I read about, he was a really good guy. Super, super, like, generous and kind. He was providing for his mother and 13 siblings that were also living in poverty, and he had gotten this, like, good job at the embassy, so he was uh-huh. making really good money, and so he would support them and himself and pretty much spent his money on everybody else. He didn't do lavish things for himself. He didn't gamble like Miss Rosemary did. The two had an overall good relationship at first, it seemed. They would fight here and there about normal things like money and too many hours working and not seeing each other enough, that sort of stuff, where mm-hmm. it's just normal couple things.
Yeah.
I would say. They both made good money. Like I said, they did well in their careers. But different ways of spending kind of became a pivotal issue between the two of them, because she was just spending all of her money on gambling. Mm-hmm. Rosemary's mother and siblings lived in poverty as well still. And rather than helping them, Rosemary was encouraging them to get life insurance. To cover them because mortality rate was quite high in the area for that like class of people. Mm-hmm. And she even offered to get the paperwork for the insurance and pay for it herself.
So you mean she killed her siblings then, is what you're saying?
Oh, you just wait, my friend. You just wait. Anyway, so
it's always the life insurance. It's the first thing. If my boyfriend or husband ever goes, we should get life insurance, I'll be like, get the fuck out.
See, I get the life insurance thing, like, especially when you're in a situation where you're like, okay, I need to get enough to at least cover like what we have out for loans. Oh, yeah, no, or whatever.
I have $200,000 out on me because of my student loans. I'm just saying, voluntarily.
What if your parents killed you to get that money?
They would have to pay off my student loans because they're on them.
You have $200,000. How much are your student loans? Huh?
Well, they're only listed as the beneficiary for the amount that they need, and then the rest goes to my nieces and nephews. So have to be a joint.
It'd have to be
a joint murder plot.
Your sister's like, all right. Okay.
You puncture the lungs, the body won't float.
So anyway, she got life insurance policies for multiple family members, including her siblings, cousins, nieces, nephews. It didn't say anything about her mom. So I don't know. She just, either her mom was like, no, or she just didn't go there. Months passed, but then in March of 2012, Rosemary's cousin, Madala. So I tried to find a picture.
Okay.
There's like no pictures. Go ahead.
My question is, life insurance policies are expensive. So where's she getting the money to pay for all of these?
Well, she makes good money.
Okay.
So if she's paying for that as like an insurance that she will get paid back and then more
later on, I suppose.
It could be that, or she lets it mature enough, just enough to where it's not weird that, you know. But so her cousin Madala Witness Homu is her name. I tried to find pictures of her, couldn't find any, because she lived in like extreme poverty. They didn't have pictures of like anybody in their family, I guess. She disappeared. Homu was all about, I'm sorry, his, I mixed up some of their things, but he was all about his family and was particularly close with his mother. So the family was very worried when he didn't show back up at home after he went to work. And they had no word on why or that he was going to be anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Rosemary, with her police training, remember, she's a police officer, started the search for her cousin and told her family that she was going to do the best that she possibly could. Mm. And they found him. His body was found a few miles away. Cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. So it was homicide. But that was about all that went into the investigation, because mm-hmm. there was so much more that they were dealing with in the area, that a lot of these like murder cases of people that didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is all the way up until now.
It's no different than now. It's
right. So
if you're not important, young or white, doesn't matter.
I don't know. It's just, it's very sad, because they genuinely like had no information on any mm-hmm. of these. And at the end, it's like, we'll get there. Anyway, so that was about it. Like I said, with the economic like level that they were at, it wasn't a priority. It wasn't worth the funds was what one article said, which I quoted because I was like, that's disgusting. I hate that. Yeah. Anyway, so turns out that Homu had a life insurance policy, obviously, and the beneficiary was Rosemary, and she received 100,000 rand, which is about $6,500, like US dollars, and only gave like 200 rand to help with the funeral costs.
What a bitch.
Yeah. Like, the whole point was that, oh, this way we'll have enough money to cover everything, and then your family will be a little better off once you go. And it kind of, you know, whatever. That's kind of how she plays it off with the family. Mm-hmm. Beach?
Beach?
So, a year passes, June 2013. Audrey Ndolvu, so Rosemary's sister, got a call from Rosemary asking if she would want to have dinner with her that night. Apparently, this was weird. Her sister said that, well, her family said that Rosemary was never one to like reach out and spend extra time with people. Like I said, she was kind of cold, not very sentimental. Mm-hmm. But she had accepted the invitation to have dinner and actually invited Rosemary to come to her house to have dinner. Because Rosemary has a car, not everybody had cars, so she could drive there. So she went there, they had dinner, they chatted, and then Rosemary left and went back home. So she says, but I mean, maybe she did. The next day, Rosemary called Audrey and thought that it was weird that she didn't answer. So being concerned, she requested the police to help her find her sister. And she drove over to Audrey's room because she was just renting a room out of this home, mm-hmm. And found her dead on the floor. She had been poisoned and strangled, it looked like. Neighbors heard Rosemary's cries after she had discovered her sister. So they heard her go, very dramatic, but I have no sympathy for this woman. And I mean, I think it's clear right now mm-hmm. that she's guilty, but just wait till the end. And I tell you some of the random quotes from the last part.
Gross.
Anyway, it was discovered that Audrey had taken out a life insurance policy as well, weird, which people said was odd because she could barely afford her room that she was renting, so they didn't think that she would have done that.
Exactly. That was my first like red flag. Yeah. It's like, who's paying for this?
Yeah. So the payout totaled about 700,000 rand, which is mm-hmm. about 45,000 US dollars, with Rosemary as the beneficiary. Fishy, weird. So there's two family things where she's a beneficiary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, the murder was barely investigated because mm-hmm. of where they're at. A couple months later, Rosemary moved to a different police station because she became a constable, which apparently I'm not sure what the difference is.
I think that's like a detective.
Yeah. That would make sense. Mm-hmm. Like moving into a different type of position. And she did well at this again. She was just really good at her job, which is unfortunate mm-hmm. considering she's a terrible human. She would often buy her coworkers lunch and loan them money. But then other days she would complain about how she was broke and she had no money to do other things. So it was like
the life of a gambler.
Exactly. So she was clearly coming into a lot of money and then would have no money back and forth. In 2014, Rosemary got pregnant with a daughter with Maurice because they were still together.
Maurice.
Maurice and Rosemary loved their daughter and made sure that she had everything that they could possibly give her, like the best life she could have. The couple was on the rocks at this point, and Maurice was not happy with Rosemary's spending, and he kind of made it a point to be like, hey, if we're trying to make this good life for our daughter, shouldn't we put the money into like our daughter's stuff and the things for the family? So this turned into a lot of arguments on a regular basis. And it seemed like the way that they would argue is they'd have this big blowout argument and she would stay with the baby and Maurice would leave to go stay somewhere else for the night until things cooled down and then would come back the next day and they'd talk it out after they both had calmed down for a bit, which makes sense. But one night in October of 2015, the couple had another big spat and the two parted ways as usual. This time, though, he didn't come back.
Ugh.
And after he didn't return the next day, Rosemary was worried and went to the police station to tell them, like, you know, Maurice is missing. We need to go look for him. I'm not sure where he is. He may be just somewhere else, but I want to make sure that, like, people are looking, right? The search went on, and later that day, they found a man's body, which was later ID'd as Maurice. Imagine that. It was dumped on the side of the road with over 80 stab wounds.
80.
I'm tired thinking about
it. Dude, my arm.
That's so much.
Mm-hmm. That's so much overkill.
Mm-hmm. So obviously a passionate killing. Mm-hmm. And they were like, they couldn't figure out why. And since he worked for the U.S. Embassy, it was a little bit more like.
But you would think that if it was like a political thing, it would have been a little bit more like.
Right, but there were
double tap to the back or something, you know?
Right, but there, I mean, they were a little more like, they looked at it a little more thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was weird because he still had all his valuables on him. Like, it wasn't a robbery.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they ID'd him because he had like a credit card with his name on it in his pocket. So clearly it was something that was not money motivated at that point.
Right.
But once again, Rosemary was a beneficiary, which this one kind of made sense. So it wasn't questioned too much since they were each other's significant other. And she was paid out 400,000 Rand, which is $26,000 USD. And then an additional 100,000 Rand from the U.S. Embassy where he worked. So she got another like 6,600.
Okay.
So it was decent payout for her. Then in June of 2016, Rosemary's niece, so this little part, I got a little confused because there were a couple articles that said that this happened like at a different time and in a different way, but this seems to be the most like detailed story of it. So I'm going to go with this one because it makes the most sense with the timeline. Rosemary's niece, Zanelle, I believe, Martha, came to stay with her for a while because she had fallen on super hard times. So she stayed at her a little apartment with her. And during this time, Zanelle was actually hit by a car. Like, obviously nothing that Rosemary did at that point.
Right.
Rosemary brought her to the hospital and Zanelle was cleared and sent home. Like, they did a makeup. They made sure she was good to go. They're like, okay, we don't see any like internal bleeding. We don't see anything that you should be worried about. You can go home, you know, let us know if there's any pain and we'll figure it out. Right. So she was sent home with Rosemary. And that night, Rosemary says that Zanelle started crying and had some like extreme chest pain. And so the next morning, I don't know why you would
chest wait. Pain is like an immediate thing. That's not a.
Like enough to where she couldn't stop crying is what some of the articles said. So Rosemary, hello. So Rosemary brings her to the hospital the next morning. And by the time she got there, Zanelle wasn't breathing anymore. I'm not sure if she was dead or if she hadn't been, you know, if she was declared mm-hmm. right on the spot. It didn't say, but she wasn't breathing either way. And so the hospital looked at her and they were like, okay, she has her abrasions on her face that she had gotten during the accident. We already looked at those, but mm-hmm. then she had internal bleeding because of fractured ribs and a damaged liver. And this was not the case when she was in the hospital the day before. They wouldn't have sent her home. They're like, we wouldn't have sent her home like that. That's not, mm-hmm. you know, protocol at all. So Ms. Rosemary's like, I don't know what happened. Then I assume something happened while I was out because I don't know if she got hit by a car the day, like in the morning. And then mm-hmm. Rosemary was out the rest of the day. And then when she came home, she was crying about the chest pain or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she said, I don't know what happened. I wasn't in the house all day, assuming that some sort of weird accident must have happened or mm-hmm. something since she was in the hospital. I don't know.
Right.
But again, life insurance was on her, so it was fine. Mm. So Rosemary got another 100,000 rand. It's just so suspicious. I don't know how anybody's looking at these now and being like, oh yeah, that's legitimate.
Yeah, it's legitimate.
Oh, drives me bananas. This is her fourth family member that passed away and she received like a chunk of money from it.
Right.
I just...
That's her niece. Why is her parents not the... Like, I just...
And I'm sure it's because she did a, oh, if you get life insurance, I'll pay for it. Just make me the beneficiary so that I can make sure the funds get where they're supposed to, is mm-hmm. my guess of how the conversation kind of goes and why like the people's significant others or parents aren't the beneficiaries.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just ridiculous. So Zanelle, after she passed away, Rosemary started getting closer to more of her family members. They said it was obvious that there was more social interactions with them than she normally would after this, which they thought maybe it's because this hit home for her. If mm-hmm. Zanelle dying while she was in the care of her, you know, that sort of thing. One big person that she was getting close to was Zanelle's brother, Myeni. So by April of 2017, Myeni was planning a trip to a city that was a decent distance away and he didn't have a car. So Rosemary offered to drive him halfway and then he planned to hitch a ride the rest of the way. Like that's just kind of how he got around.
Mm-hmm.
And so she dropped him off and headed home as planned. The next day, the police called her and said that they had found a body and ID'd it as Myeni. So he now is dead as well. This time, though, the insurance looked a little bit deeper because the paperwork that Rosemary had filled out was listed as if she was her, like she was Myeni's wife.
Oh, weird.
Like partner. And so they rejected it because there was no, they're like, he's your cousin. There's no proof that you guys have been like together or married mm-hmm. or anything. So she got nothing for that.
Okay.
So, fuck you, Rosemary. And then January of 2018, Rosemary's nephew, his name is Brilliant.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet? I'm like, oh,
that's brilliant.
Brilliant Mishago disappeared and was found dead a few days later. The last person to see him alive was Rosemary. The reason
how come
that
none of her family are like, yo, this
I
is
don't know that
that's
they are
suspicious.
In-
That's weird.
I don't know that they're in a position to, and like with mortality rates as high as they are in their like
I
bracket
suppose.
Of, you know, they're like things happen. I don't know. But at the same time, I would be like,
the fuck?
Hi, mm-hmm. she's the last person to see all these people alive and she's the beneficiary. No. So she was the last person to see him alive. And that's only proven because their cell phones that they had were pinging off of the same towers in the same areas
okay.
the whole way. So it looks like she drove him to a town and then they parted ways in the evening. Like
mm-hmm.
they were together and then parted ways. When this was brought to Rosemary, she denied all claims. She refused any questioning. She's like,
I didn't even see him that day. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. And basically just wouldn't talk. This time, Brilliant had 3 life policies on him, which is dumb.
Now you're getting greedy.
But guess what?
Rosemary, she got paid him out.
She was stupid again and listed herself as his mother. And so it got rejected because that's not her relationship to him. So stupid.
You're stupid.
After this, Rosemary tried to enlist a hitman in Jabalu. In Jabalu Kanane. It's like a lot of repeating
vowels and a lot of K's. I don't know.
Yeah. She had run across while working as an officer. She had actually like arrested him for a couple years ago for having a weapon. So she like enlisted him to try to get him to be a hitman for her. She approached him about killing her sister Joyce and her 5 children, the youngest of which is 6 months old.
What a dirty little whore.
Yeah, no. This is where it starts getting like, okay, you can just burn in hell. I'm good. So he was shocked by this request. He was like, this is real. Yeah, this is really dark. And so he even, as a criminal, and it incriminated him because he was known as like a hitman, but he went to the police and was like, this is what was just asked of me. I feel like you need to know this, and gave him all the information, because she had told him like, hey, you know, I've been doing this insurance thing, and like gave them the whole story that she told him. And the police were like, sweet, we're gonna strap a camera into your car. You're gonna have a friend who's gonna help you because there's so many people to kill. And that's gonna be an undercover officer. So they put the camera in the car, sent him to meet up with Rosemary and talk details and plans. This time, like I said, he would have help, which was an undercover officer. And Rosemary agreed to drive the two the 5 hours to her sister's house to show them where the house is and discuss how they would do it.
Ew.
I know. I hate everything. So I took some of the quotes from the footage in the car from what she was telling them. And I'm just going to tell you what some of the stuff that she said. So the one quote I took from the undercover officer was, he quote, I want us to talk about the kind of work you need us to do and what kind of job this is. Okay. That was like the initial, here's what we need to talk about, trying to just get her to give information without making it too obvious. And Rosemary says it's to remove a person. And then another time at one point she says, you can go in, strangle them, burn them, but don't stab or shoot them. That's not done in villages. You see setting them alight, number one, and strangling them, number one, just those two.
Ew.
Yeah. And then another quote, I was thinking of asking her to meet me somewhere and you can park the car at a distance. I will then be fair, this is like a translation, so it's kind of, some of the words sound weird, but I will then give her that pill you see, and I will tell her to take the pill because it helps since it's flu season. I will advise her to take them before bed because it will make her fall asleep. Then you will be able to enter. There are no burglars. I don't know what that means, but
probably there's not a lot of burglars in the villages because they're probably just steal.
Right. And then another quote, I would be innocent. When they tell me about her passing, I will rush home and start preparations and put claims in and make sure everything is in order. So she just straight up like told them the entire plan. And then this is why she's doing it. And she'll get it on it right away on camera. And yeah. So she was arrested right after the ride, obviously. Being charged with 6 counts of murder for Homu, for her sister, her boyfriend, her niece, her nephew. Overall, she had gotten 1.4 million rand worth of insurance money, which is about 100,000 USD. During the trial, the evidence was very sparse since the investigations didn't really take place at all afterwards. So it took
quite a while for them to gather enough evidence to be able to go to trial. Okay, October 22nd, 2021. So it took that long, 3 years almost. And there, I was like, that's a weird saying. I don't know.
That's when you were at my house.
October 22nd. Oh, I was, wasn't I?
Mm-hmm.
There were over 50 witnesses and testimonies during the trial. These were all character witnesses, the people that, you know, the undercover cop and the hitman and mm-hmm. all those people, basically everybody coming in being like, here's what it is. She's always been very cold. She was the last person to see. So this is when the family members that were suspicious of her, but had no power to do anything about it,
mm-hmm.
Got to come in and speak up. But like in the beginning of the trial, she seemed almost like happy and like jovial and seemed to like pose for the cameras, not taking things serious at all.
Gross.
I know. When all the witnesses began coming up and giving their information and doing their testimonies on her character, she all of a sudden got super hostile and started like yelling at them and straight up saying, I didn't do anything. I think she just didn't like how they were painting her, the mm-hmm. light they were painting her in. She denied any involvement. But at the end of the trial, she insisted her innocence as well.
Okay.
After hearing everything and apologized to the families, which I don't understand why she apologized if she's saying she's innocent. Is she just sorry that they died or that she took the money, or I don't know. It didn't say, but I thought that was weird when I read it. Rosemary was found guilty of all charges, 6 counts of premeditated murder, 4 counts of fraud, 7 counts of incites to commit murder because of trying to plan, and sentenced to 6 life sentences, 70 years for the murder. 6 life sentences for the murders, 70 years for the inquiries to murder.
Okay.
And 10 more years for the fraud. She will be 71 when she is paroleable, even considered to be paroled.
Ugh.
But that just means that they have to say it's okay. But clearly she's doesn't have any remorse and she hasn't admitted guilt. So
right.
I don't know that she would even get parole.
I hope not. Because
I would hope not. Just die.
No, that's fucking just go die.
Just go die. You know,
that's shit. I can't. Ugh, that grosses me out. Like, why would you kill not like anyone, but why your own family? That's awful.
Your family and like
your nieces and nephews, your
father of your child.
Ugh.
I'm just so
with a side of ugh.
And it's just for money. And it's not right. even like immense amounts of money. I mean, it is probably to them because if you don't have a lot of money, it's a lot of money,
right.
but still never worth it, no matter what kind of money it is. So
all right.
The random story I found.
I liked it. Good job.
Thanks.
Well, you have to call the bank.
Yeah, and hopefully.
Apparently, having a party in my house because you're being so fucking loud.
Apparently. So,
thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, spread the word.
Spread your thoughts. Why are we giving each other the peace sign?
I just flashed back to fucking MySpace. Duck face. Get the tongue out. Mm. I totally do that now again. It's weird.
I know. I don't like it.
Okay.
They're doing the emo swoop too now. I'm like, oh, are you cool?
Which is hilarious because weren't they just saying that middle parts were the thing?
Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah, get over it.
You don't know. You don't fucking know. Okay. All right.
Bye.